This podcast is brought to you by the City of Pueblo. Come take a ride with Zero Fare for Better Air, where bus fares are free for June, July, and August on all Pueblo Transit and City Lift rides. Riding Pueblo Transit is easy and convenient with 12 routes throughout the city. All bus schedules are kept up to date on the city's website at www.pueblo.us. Visit Pueblo Transit online or come take a ride for yourself, starting at the Transit Center, located at 123 Court Street.
Hello and welcome to the Voices of Pueblo podcast. I'm Ben Kaysen here with the Pueblo Star Journal. I'm here with Jane Fraser of the Ethos Project. Jane, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Ben.
Oh man, I'm so excited to talk to you today. We've been hearing about your project for, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 months now. All the hype's been building up. And then this last week, the Ethos Bar finally opened up.
Yeah.
And I know you guys do a lot. I mean, there's a lot of different avenues you guys are jumping into. So for our listeners today, what we want to do is just jump in, talk cool. about the why you made this project and, you know, what's going on at Ethos. So I just want to start off with where'd the idea come from for the Ethos?
Wow, that's a great question, Ben. Yeah. And actually, you said you've been hearing about us for 4 months. We bought the building 17 months ago. Ooh, so it's been a long journey. But where did it come from is a great question. And I would say the first route is TikTok, not the online app, but TikTok, which used to be on North Santa Fe. And that was my partner, Emily Gratisar. It was her business. And TikTok was what she called an anti-cafe. Yeah. Where you pay to be in there by the minute, but then the food and the coffee are for free. And it was a great concept. It was a really good place. It was a little hard for Pueblo to get their head around to sure. begin with. But that was certainly the first root of it. And really, she was about building community and many of the same things and makers and so forth. She started in 2018 and then got badly hit by the pandemic when we were allowed to reopen. Her space just didn't allow and so forth. But that's the first important thread. Yeah. And actually, the Ethos is that business. We're TikTok DBA, the
oh,
Ethos.
Cool. That's awesome.
Which it helps with the business because we're not a new business,
sure.
which matters.
I used to go to TikTok in college. So
oh,
that was one of my favorite
spots. Oh, cool.
Spots. Yes,
I saw you there.
Yep, I probably saw you there.
Yeah. The second group I would really say is a group that Kurt Maddock and I founded, coincidentally, also in 2018. And that's a group called Pueblo Makes. Yep. And you've been there, Ben. You've been on our Zoom calls. Pueblo Makes is really about Pueblo being a maker city, you know, from the steel mill to crafts and everything in between. We have a tremendous number of creatives and artists and some successful, some not. And I love the phrase, make bad art, you know, go out there and make it. And Pueblo Makes is, I'm not quite sure how to describe it. I mean, we've been on Zoom calls since COVID started, but we're getting back in person. But it's really just a support group. I got 150 people on an email list and 1,000 people on a Facebook page. So it's really just about making. And that's the other route. And then finally, our third partner is Sam DeRosier, who's all about marketing whiz, and really good business background and just really keeps us focused. And that's really great. But all of us, I would say the biggest thread and the biggest root of it is about helping Pueblo, about building community. We're thrilled that we're able to preserve an iconic building and building community and communities in all sorts of ways. I start to choke up a little bit about some of this.
Yeah, hey, that's great. No, I mean, I can always tell just how passionate you are for it. I mean, you know, I did come to one of the Pueblo Makes calls. I've been, you know, connected with you guys and what you're doing for that. You call Pueblo a maker city. Explain that to me. What does that mean? It's a maker city.
Yeah, that's I'm going to stop saying that's a good question. Of course, you're asking good questions. I grew up in a paper mill town in New Jersey. And really, when I came to Pueblo, it took me a while to figure out why I felt so at home. But I think those kind of maker, manufacturing, blue collar, ethnic, many of the same ethnic roots in my town in New Jersey, Whippany, small town, nobody's ever heard of it. You know, many of the same ethnic roots, also mafia, which is very interesting. But I think that whole ethos of the hands-on, rough but sincere welcome, and sort of a, I always say, my parents' roots were in Brooklyn, but you know, when you get to the front of the line in a deli and they say, what do you want in this rough way? They really want to know what you want. You know, it's really a kind of open sort of place. And I think that's the roots of making in both my hometown as well as Pueblo. This is now my hometown. I've been here 25 years. Mm. But we've got the steel mill, which is clearly a huge part of our roots. But we do so much else in this town, also from railroad products through, you know, Formulary 55 and making things. And you guys, making the newspaper, we're in Pueblo Makes and in our thinking about Maker City, we're very inclusive. And so people who write make paragraphs, right?
That's true.
But I think there is this notion that everybody can make, and that I often say, you know, the classic Pueblo question, when two Pueblo people meet each other, what's their first question?
What high school did you go to?
What high school did you go to? I want to change that question to, what do you make?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. And I think everybody's got a good answer to that. Absolutely. So I can't claim, I don't think we should ever claim that that's unique. I think there are lots of cities that have those same sorts of roots. I was listening to at the Latino Chamber coffee break this morning, people were likening Pueblo to Pittsburgh. And I think that's a real good one, too. Hmm. But it is that sense of hands-on, I can make this, I can fix this. Is that?
Yeah, that makes total sense to me. Yeah, well, Jane, what do you make?
Oh, thank you for asking. I sew.
You sew?
So I love fabric. And when I was young, my mother made a lot of the clothes for our family. My grandfather was a tailor. I just come from a family where we think about fabric. We think about it. Now, lately, of what I've been making is I make fabric bags. I can't believe I don't have one with me right now. But they're just very simple. Some people call them market bags, but they're really strong. And I keep five or six in the car. It turns out if you don't have these, you don't realize you miss them. Once you have these bags around, it's like, how did I live without them?
That's awesome.
I make bags and I give them to people.
That's super cool. So how does ethos connect with that maker spirit that you're talking about? How does it help somebody who's wanting to be a maker, who is a maker?
So we're going to have maker spaces. And one of our first tenant is there's a group called Creepy, C-R-E-E-P-I. And I'll be honest, I forgot what it stands for, except the C stands for ceramic.
Oh, interesting.
And so it's a group of ceramic artists, and they've rented a space in our building, and they've moved in their kilns, and they're going to be doing their making and art there. So that's the first way that people can connect. They've got the biggest space that we had available, but we're about 2 weeks away from getting all of this set up.
Yep.
But there's going to be some private spaces you can rent that are permanent. You can have your equipment in there and use it. But mostly for $50 a month, you get a hot seat kind of thing where you can come in and do your making. So, for example, if somebody makes candles and they make them in their kitchen, but it gets in the way of the family and all that sort of stuff, well, they can come in and do some of their work on our site.
Wow.
We're going to have lockers where people can keep their stuff. And so that's the one of the major ways is to join the makerspace and have it's 24/7 access to that makerspace also.
Wow. Do you have a goal for how many people you're hoping to have involved
in that
project?
Are good questions. I'll be honest, with a lot of these questions, let me be honest about this.
Sure.
I bought the building. You know, I provided the money for this to happen, but my two partners are doing so much of the work.
Yeah.
So and Emily is actually the managing, the operating person.
Yep.
There's a house on the property. She's living there. Long answer to say, Ben, that very often I'm going to say to you, I should ask Emily that question.
No, hey, that's great. That's what teams are for.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So that's one way that makers, creatives can interact with us. I also want to mention that we want to strongly support the other groups that are doing creative and making sorts of things. And let me just make sure I mention the ones I want to be sure to. So, for example, the Creative Consortium, Andy Sanchez at the Sangre de Cristo Art Center is doing a great job of pulling together a whole bunch of people. The Pueblo Arts Alliance, Blowback Gallery. I mean, Jeff Medine's just he's done amazing things. I don't know if you've seen the new makerspace at the Rawlings Library with their remodel. It's great.
Yep.
We're going to have our next meeting of Pueblo Makes at that maker space.
Oh, wow.
June something, I've forgotten. So another way to connect is through us and through other groups. We don't want to pretend we're the only ones. We're not. And we want to support and work with all of these other groups. But also, besides Makerspace, we're going to have classes, which again is the roots in TikTok. So that was something Emily was doing at TikTok, was having maker classes. For example, her wand making class sells out almost immediately every time. Yeah, isn't that
great?
That's
awesome.
And so if people want to be part of a class, sign up to take a class, come make a wand. But if you want to teach a class, we have a bunch of forms on our website where you can sign up to teach or to take a class. Mm. And so lots of connections with creatives. We're also still working on the kind of events we want to have. Mm. We have, of course, the Sober Bar, and we're going to get to that, I know, Ben. But we also have a community hall, we're calling it, that's available for projects. And we're still working on what kind of art exhibits do we want to have and how can we be part of First Friday.
Yeah.
Again, supporting the creative and maker and artist community that exists.
Well, I know you guys, for your grand opening, you listed, you know, a bunch of great local artists, local, you know, singers, local musicians. That's what I'm looking for, musicians. You know, improv groups, things like that. I know you guys connected with them. I thought that was a really
dancing
cool thing.
With Tamburitsyn.
Really?
Yeah, they were awesome.
Cool.
Oh, God, that was so cute. They had the kids dancing.
What do you think is special about Pueblo's creative sphere?
Again, one of the reasons I resonated with this community, I think, is the answer to that question, which is the rich ethnic background of this area. So one of my favorite images for me of Pueblo is my partner Mark and I were attending one of the German fests. And so there was an Oompa band. And there was this very large Hispanic man in cowboy, I don't want to say outfit because I'm sure he was a cowboy.
Yeah,
he wasn't dressed up as a cowboy. He really was. And he's out there by himself dancing to the Oompa band at this German event. And it was just wonderful.
Awesome.
That to me sort of the essence of Pueblo is this mixture of ethnicities and you know, as we look at the neighborhood where our building is, I know we're going to get to that in a minute, too. I just see all the multi-ethnic groups. And I think that rich mixture of all of the making cultures, potizza and other food, for example, that we make. And
that's incredible. That's so cool. So, yes.
So besides what do you make, it could be what do you eat? I don't know.
Yeah, what do you eat? What do you cook?
Yeah,
I
right.
love that. No, it's – I think – I love that question, what do you make, because it's so open-ended. You know, like I was thinking about that, like how I would answer it. I would say, well, I like to write. Like that's my thing. Even though, you know, it's not like a physical, like hands-on making, but I feel like that would apply. So, yeah.
Exactly. Well, and we think making music, obviously, is making.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But
Pueblo Transit is partnering in the community for Zero Fare for Better Air, with events like Pueblo's Care and Share distribution on June 28th, July 26th, and August 23rd at Praise Assembly on Troy Avenue. Pueblo Transit is also providing special shuttles to Pueblo Pride on August 20th at Mineral Palace Park, and offering free service from downtown on Main Street to the Colorado State Fair from August 25th to the 31st. Zero Fare for Better Air is all summer long in June, July, and August. Let's get back in the episode.
So let's jump back into the classes real quick for Ethos. When and how can the community members get connected with classes that are coming up?
So through the website is the best way to do that. And we've got a calendar on there with all of them. You can click through and you can register for a class. We're still getting started. And so I'll caution people, you know, if we're not getting enough people, we may cancel a class. But we're still ramping up. Bear with us. We're getting there. But through
this
the website.
Your first week.
Thank you.
Talking to you on your first week.
I forget that.
Yeah, you guys just got going.
Let me stop and breathe.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben. That's a really good point. So sign up for classes through the website. Yeah. Also, we've got a very active Facebook page. I'm a boomer, so I know Facebook. Sam, of course, has us on it. Every other social media, which I barely know how to use. So we're on all those other things, too. Yeah. But through the website, I think, is the best way to sign up. Not only to take a class, but we're looking for people to offer to do a class also. We've got one running, I think it's this weekend.
Oh, cool.
That's Blackout Poetry. Have you ever seen this?
No.
So you take my understanding, I'm pretty sure this, you take a printed page and you black out words until you're left with a poem.
Huh. That's cool.
I love that.
That's interesting. Huh.
You have
I
to,
like that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta like figure out which words you want to take. That's super cool.
That's super cool.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I think that jumps into maybe my next question was going to be like, what kind of array of things for the classes are we going to see?
Yeah. Let me see how I can do on that one. So I just mentioned that Blackout Poetry. Emily does wand making, and she also does resin pour.
Oh, wow.
So
cool.
For example, if you have a tray that's got high sides, you can pour resin into it in different patterns. And then when it solidifies, you get really beautiful objects off of that. But I think
incredible.
We've got writing classes coming up, you know, any kind of arts, crafts, words. You want to teach us a class on writing for newspapers? I mean, what do you make?
Yeah.
You know, ask anybody, what do you make? And then you say, you can teach that to somebody else.
Mm. Wow. That's so cool.
And I want to stress again, we feel strongly you don't have to do these things well. I mean, and you don't have to be embarrassed if you come into a class and, you know.
You're not good at it, right?
Yeah. You're not going to be good at it to begin with. It's an opportunity to come out and have some fun with some people.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's super cool. So I've noticed, well, first off, you guys call yourself Ethos, but I've also noticed sometimes you call yourself The Ethos. Tell me why the name and, you know, just jump into why'd you choose that as, you know, what you want to identify as.
Yeah. So the ethos means a philosophy of an era or a place. And and it's to us, it's really about defining Pueblo and that maybe we've let other people define us too much. And we should be really defining who we are and taking control of that. So the ethos. Yeah. What is the ethos? In fact, I think I used the word earlier. It's becoming more a natural part of my vocabulary because we're talking about it so much. And we're still working on the ethos is the whole building. The bar is the abstract. And then we've got maker spaces and a community hall. And, oh, I forgot to mention, we've also got a commercial kitchen. And so we're looking at how we can use that. Obviously, so when the sober bar is open, we're focused on the drinks, sober drinks. But we've got some bar food, you know, potato wedges and cheese curds. And people are really, they're liking the food. So that's really good. But the commercial kitchen is another opportunity where we think we can help the community. My understanding is that food trucks have to prepare their food in commercial kitchens. And so we're open to those opportunities. We're doing a pop-up this weekend. I forgot the name of the group. I'm embarrassed. They're vegan. They're going to open a restaurant and they don't have a location yet, but they're going to do a pop-up this Thursday and they're going to use our kitchen while we're serving the drinks.
That is super cool. Well, let's jump into the abstract, into the bar side.
Yeah.
So, because I find that really interesting. So, it's a sober bar. So talk to me about why sober bar, what, you know, just tell me about that half of what you
do. So I'll tell you, for me at least, some of the motivation is not to have to deal with drunks.
I mean, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But more seriously, there is a large sober community in town.
Yeah.
And we're finding, we think, that there's two major parts to that. One is people are recovering from misuse of alcohol. And so there's a large sober community. There's, you know, many such people. I'm often surprised to find out which of my friends are in that category. And that's a very important group, people who want to go out and not be in an environment where they're even being tempted. And that's really great. We're glad to support that. But also, Ben, so let me also say I'm twice the age of my two partners. So it's always interesting to find some generational differences here. But they tell me that for my generation and such, you know, cigarettes have been the thing where we say, no, just no more cigarettes. We're done with that. And that for their generation, for many people, alcohol is exactly that.
Yeah.
But I think I've misstated that a little bit, because it's not even just we're done with that. It's why are we even doing that? I mean, and so that's interesting. Does this resonate with you?
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't drink a ton. I drink a little bit, but not, you know, mostly, you know, like one glass of wine. I like wine a lot. Like, yeah, I feel you on that. For my age, it's not something that is super tempting for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so why not be at a place that, you know, it's really good drinks, but, it's not that whole alcohol environment.
What I'll also say is, I don't know, this just may just be my experience. People may disagree with me, but I feel like when I'm trying to create or do something that takes all of my mind, I feel like I need to be sober in that, if that makes sense.
Can we use that quote? Ben, that was perfect, because that was the next place I was going, was to say to foster creativity in a sober environment. And I love the way you said it. It takes all my mind. It takes all my concentration to do that. Why would I dull that in some sort of way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, that's cool. Well, what kind of drinks do you guys have that you offer?
So my favorite so far is, I'm not a big drinker, so in fact, I didn't know a lot of things, but we've got mocktails.
Okay.
Nice. So for example, there's a drink called a Cosmopolitan. So we have a Cosmonaut, which, you know, it's no alcohol.
That's pretty-
and it is really good. It's very tasty. I have to be careful not to just down that. It's good. And we'll, so we have mocktails, but we also have drinks that have been created just for this. One of our bartenders is just really good, Nakia, at creating drinks. And so I can't remember this exact story, Ben, but apparently somebody came in last week and described some drink to her, and she stood and thought for a little while, jotted some notes, and went over and mixed some things, put it in front of the person, and he said, nailed it and won. You know, so we're open to that, absolutely, and we're going to be having specials. So there's mocktails. Wow. There are mixed drinks that are, you know, we've got a whole selection of things that are non-alcoholic versions of various things, but also really good fruit juices and ginger beer and so forth. We've got NA beers and NA wines. It is important, we think, to clearly label mocktails as well as, you know, completely non-alcoholic, not even referencing alcohol. By the way, we're required to card for mocktails.
Oh, interesting.
Even yeah. And I get that, because in a way that is promoting alcohol. Yeah. We've had, among the three of us, we've had some discussions about this and decided to do both. But I think these things are kind of tricky. And what are we, you know, signaling by even having the mocktails? So now I will say, you know, no place is for everybody. And clearly there are people who want to go out and have a couple of alcohol drinks. And, you know, we're not the place for them. And also, we did have one overheard complaint in our first weekend of, you know, this much money for a, you know, mix of fruit juices? And the answer is, yeah. I mean, but we know how to mix them. And we've got beautiful glassware, you know, it's a martini glass with a nice slice of lime on it. You're going to want to take a picture of that and put it on social media. So, nice. Plus, it's just an amazing environment.
That's super. Well, what hours are you guys open?
So, we're opening for 3 nights, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, from 4:30 to 11:30. But frankly, Ben, you know, you just keep reminding me, you know, we're new at this.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Of course, we're going to see what works and so forth. We are very mindful of being in a residential neighborhood also. Mm. And so on our opening weekend, I'm proud to say Sam went outside for a while, stood outside of the doors to hear how much the music was traveling. Yeah. And it's not. But
good.
We don't want to bother our neighbors. Mm. We, you know, made a promotion for them. We're not doing a great job, but we're trying to keep them informed. Parking's a situation in that area. So, we want to be good neighbors.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, that segues perfectly into where I was going to go next. You guys are in a very historic neighborhood. Tell me about how'd you choose the building and what do you think about that community?
Yeah. So shout out to Jimmy New Moon Roybal, who was our real estate agent. This would not have happened without him. He was so patient with us. And we were really looking for a space that could be all the things that we're talking about. We didn't have a sober bar in mind at all. You know,
really?
No.
So that was kind of one of the later things that came in.
Exactly. I mean, I still remember the three of us. One of the first things we did was we sat in one of the rooms and brainstormed what it could be. And then we moved to the next room and did that again. And then we moved to the next room. And it was a very important exercise. Thank you, Sam, for that idea. But Jimmy New Moon Roybal helped us with looking for a building. And really, you know, we wanted historic kind of buildings. We looked at a building on Main Street, which the current owner would not even talk to us about selling. I won't go there. And then I also shout out to Skylar Long, who was the other real estate agent. This building, it was funny. We had been out looking at some other buildings that day. And then Emily said to, we looked at him and said, oh, too much work. And oh my God, you know, there's a whole little floor there, you know, and things like that. And and Emily said to Jimmy, what about the old Grand Prix? And she said, okay, you know, and called the other real estate agent. We did a walkthrough. I still remember Emily spent the whole time rolling her eyes at me, you know, just in terms of, look what we can do with this, Jane, you know, but not wanting to say anything in front of the other real estate agent. Yeah. So it was pretty quick, Ben, that we just saw the possibilities with that building. Absolutely. We think I can go on for quite a while about this building and this neighborhood. This just really excites me. So stop me if I'm going too long.
We love this stuff. Yep.
We think we're the fifth owner of that building. So it was the Anzick family, and they opened as Anzick Steakhouse. And we think it was built for them in 1920. I was at the public library this morning, and I've got them trying to see what we can find out about it. And the Anzicks were living in the house on the on a property in the 1920 census, and I think 1930 also. Yeah, and then it became Strilix Lounge. The Anzick's was basically a steakhouse. Oh, I forgot to mention that space in the building. There's an old meat locker.
Oh, really?
In the back of the building, you know, with the where you can hang the carcasses and stuff. And,
interesting.
Yeah, so they were actually doing the treatment of meat. You know, they were aging it and so forth. And it was apparently a very well-known steakhouse. And I'm a little hazy about dates in here, so I'm hoping people are going to call you and say, you got to correct her and tell her I want to hear that. It was Strilix Lounge at some point also. And in one of the censuses, the Strilix are living in the house on the property. Then it was the Grand Prix, which was owned by the Montoyas. And again, we can see them living in the house in one of the censuses. And then that closed at least a decade ago. I've been to the Grand Prix when it was open. Let me tell you, Ben, if you told me when my partner Mark and I were eating dinner in the Grand Prix that, oh, Jane, someday you're going to own this building, I would have thought you were nuts, right? But the Montoyas ran it as the Grand Prix, which people in Pueblo just, you know, that was a great place. I regret to tell people, no, we're not bringing back the menu. Sorry. And then most recently, Mark Acosta and his father bought it. Every one of these families has been a great steward of the property. And shout out to Mark Acosta in particular. Just that building could easily have been bought by some developer and raised and, you know, apartments put up. And nobody allowed that. And Mark took good care of it, replaced some important components, and just, you know, when we bought it, it was in very, very good shape.
Good.
The bar is just beautiful, the actual physical bar. So we refinished the very front wooden part where where you lean on it with your elbows. Some of the glass shelves needed replacing, and, you know, we're replacing some of the bar equipment and so forth, and some plumbing needed updating. The big thing we did, and the reason we thought we bought it, oh, we'll be open in 5 months. Oh, geez. I'm sorry. How could people think these things? Do it in 5 months. It turned out to be 17 months, but mainly because, well, we all love old buildings and that bar is gorgeous. I'm not that fond of old bathrooms. And so that's what we did was we gutted the public bathrooms. And I say we, you know, shout out to Whitlock who did the workforce. And they worked with us also to keep the cost down. We did a lot of the deconstruction, taking it down. We even took out studs. I mean, it was way down. Yeah. And then Whitlock did a lot of it. Again, when I say we, it's Emily and Sam.
You know, as your team is, that's great.
And so a lot of the tiling in the bathrooms and so forth. And that was just, you know, there were some rough spots in some of that. My favorite one was the bathroom stalls were delayed in getting here, supply chain issues, you know, all about that. That finally on the way, oh my gosh, they're coming. The truck they were on got run into, major accident, and everything was destroyed and had to be shipped. But that building and that neighborhood is very important to us. Emily, is Emily Gratisar, and that Gratisar name, of course, there's deep roots in Pueblo. And on the side of the Dewdrop Inn, there's a mural, and that mural is based on a photo of, I think it's Emily's great-grandfather. So, you know, Emily has those roots here. Sam and I can't claim anything like that. But yes, you're right. Historically, it's been the Eilers neighborhood or Bojantown. I always tell Emily she can use that word.
We just did our cover story was on that this last.
I love the cover story. You guys did a great job. In fact, I'm following up on some of that because Jason Falsetto and Tony Perko mentioned a festival. And so we're trying to make contact to see what we can find out about that and maybe bring that back. I don't know.
Yeah, tell me about that community. Why is that community good for you guys to be in the middle of?
So there's a group called Begin, B-E-G-I-N, which is, let me get this right. What's the B for? Bessemer, Eilers Heights / Bojan, B-E-G, Grove, Innovation Network. Innovation Network? I think that's right. Yeah. And so there's very active people that we're in touch with, Rick and Pam, and really working on trying to work with the people in that network. I walked some of the neighborhood recently to hand out a flyer when we were going to open and invite people to come. And everybody was so excited that the building is going to be redone. And they were very excited, too, that it would be a sober bar because, again, that, you know, that helps the community. That's people coming in and so forth. But it's not putting drunks on the road. And it means it's kid friendly and all sorts of events can happen there. So we think we're doing a good thing for the community there. We hope so. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention was and I'm a little – I may have my facts a little bit wrong here. I think I got it right. The Pueblo Department of Public Health and Environment has a program where you can get murals painted, and I think it's only in particular areas. But we put in a request for that and said we wanted something historical. And the front of our building is perfect for that. We took down some metal work that was kind of – not in keeping with the building. And then there's the side of a building. We unfortunately had to take down a tree. I hate to do that, but it was in the plumbing. It was, you know, doing damage. So it had to come out. But we requested a mural from that. And the community committee reviewed applications, blind applications. People put in proposals for that. And they asked us to sit on that also. And it was unanimous in the choice of it. And it turned out to be Pueblo muralist Matt Rafik.
Oh, cool.
Exactly. Yeah. So perfect. Yeah. That was great. So he painted for us. It's a sunrise, sunset on the front of it, graduated colors. And then on the side, just you got to go look at it. It's got all sorts of figures. He did a good job. He said he didn't want to do the usual kind of trite almost references to the steel mill. So he used much more fire to represent that. And he's got a big coyote and just he did a really good job. So
one of my favorites. I love what he does. So
I just think it's really great. And then he also painted for us there were two big signs that still, they had rusted and they were all a mess and stuff, but you could see that they said the Grand Prix. We got photos of all of that stuff, but then Matt painted them over in black, and the biggest sign now says Creative Community, which is our mission statement, and a description of Pueblo. So that's beautiful. And Matt said it was too unsafe for him to go higher and do the ethos above that. So we're working with Signs by Scott to get that one up there. So, you know, back to your question, Ben, about what does this mean in terms of the neighborhood? We think we're doing good things and responding to the neighborhood. We're just going to have to be good at listening and asking, too. And Emily and I were just talking this morning about, she was so good when she ran the TikTok, you know, when the pandemic happened and she would have to pivot and try different things. And you were in there. You, I'm sure, saw some of the changes.
Yeah.
And we're going to want to do that. Let me be honest. We're not out to make big money on this. I was afraid my financial advisor, when I called her and said I wanted to do this, I was afraid she was going to tell me I was crazy. The good news is she said, no, you're investing in real estate. That's great, Jane. But, that advisor, whose name is also Jane, keeps saying to me, you know, the worst that happens is the business fails and you're left with a building that's worth more than what you put into it. That's, you know, that's not my goal, obviously. But we're also not after trying to get what's some good words here? Help me. Be extractive, be exploitive. That's not what we're about. We're trying to do good things for the community while paying well. And we are trying very hard to do that, charging reasonable prices for things. And it remains to be seen, you know, we're watching the books and we will be, you know, how's this going to work out? But the goal is not to retire to Cancun or something like that. The goal is to grow something for Pueblo.
I think it fits well with what you're talking about with, you know, being a maker. You're trying to make something special there, which
I love
is
it.
Really cool. So
thanks.
And I think that, I don't know, the whole thing just gets me really excited. What do you think, like, you know, let's get 5 years down the line, you know, Ethos has been going. What's the one thing that if you saw that, you'd be like, well, this project was a success?
Oh, I love that. I'm going to refer to something Emily and I were just talking about this morning. We were talking, I had asked Emily, what's our target demographic? And I was saying, I'm a little uncomfortable with that term. What does that mean? And we had a really good discussion. And Emily was teaching me about that. And I know Sam thinks a lot about that with the marketing. But again, there's some generational things here. And they understand Facebook better. But we were talking about target demographics. And then Emily mentioned two different groups we've had in recently. We are radically inclusive. And so there was just a conversation on Facebook yesterday about somebody asking, where's a gay-friendly place? And I'm very proud that several people mentioned the Ethos. We've been open how long? And they already mentioned that. I mean, I'm just
That's
thrilled
incredible.
By that. So Emily was describing one group. And then we had a group we were calling them neighborhood dads, but it was, they're all, sober. And one of them, makes darts, but they're magnetic darts. And so we're talking with him about, can we have a space and so forth. And our image was, we want a table of the neighborhood dads and a table of other people. You know, we're gay friendly and, you know, a nice mixture group. And we want those two tables talking to each other.
Wow.
And Emily said, it's happened already, Jane. I mean, we're already getting that kind of vibe, which is just great. Yeah.
That's a powerful image. It's a lot like you talking about the cowboy dancing to the German music, right?
It's a lot like the – exactly. It's this multi-ethnic, radically inclusive community. So the values we've listed on our website, and not just listed on our website, they're real values, but they're community-centered, which – you got to think about that, I think, a little more because it's community-centered, but it's also – I put the plural on that too because it's communities.
Yeah.
We don't want to say you have to be a part of every one of them. Your community can be here in this community and so forth. Radically inclusive, No hate groups. Don't bring hate to the ethos. And locally invested. I haven't mentioned that yet. Where possible, we are trying very hard to locally source. We're not able to do that, you know, but we're working on it as much as we can.
What do you mean by that?
Local produce, for example.
Awesome.
We've got so many things, Baden, we have to be working on them. My head just spins.
This is a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. And that locally invested one, I think, is difficult. You know, it's so easy to order from Sysco, right? And yet, somebody was just talking to me. Jim Valenzuela was talking to me about the Pueblo Food Project, which, you know, we've been very aware of. And they've promoted community gardens. And so he thought that maybe there were some in our neighborhood. There may be people growing stuff in the backyard. And, you know, there's radical local sourcing. You know, can we be getting food directly from our neighborhood? You know, we walk to get this food. You know, no truck was involved.
Yeah.
Would be just fantastic. Yeah. Mm. And then, of course, local artists and local makers. I mean, Pueblo Makes. Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
I forgot the question you asked me originally.
I think you hit it. That's fantastic. Well, Jane, I'm so excited about this whole project. And yeah, I mean, I think last thing I'd ask you is, you know, for the community just as a whole, how can they take steps to support Ethos right now and be a part of what you guys are doing? How would you suggest them to connect?
Obviously, come spend money.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it is a business. We need to have the income coming in. But I think number two, I would say be a little patient with us. We're working stuff out, but also give us feedback. So we had up a sheet. I've forgotten exactly what we put on it, but it was, you know, the ethos should, you know, and filling out, and we got great suggestions.
Wow.
And so, yeah, you know, give us suggestions. Obviously, we can't do them all to be right off. But, you know, come to us with ideas. And I was, for 21 years, I was chair of the Department of Engineering at CSU Pueblo. And one of the important ways I handled that job was I was telling my faculty, if they came into my office with a new idea, I was trying to say yes. My bias is to say yes. And we're not going to be able to do that all at the ethos. You know, we may say, that sounds like a great idea. Why don't you do that with us? You know, are you willing to do that work? You'll organize that event. A friend of mine just mentioned June 16th is Bloomsday. Do you know about this?
No, I don't know about this at all.
So the novel Ulysses by James Joyce all takes place in one day in Dublin, Ireland, on June 16th. Well, turns out there are people who are crazy about this novel, including my friend, who shall be nameless, and they do events to celebrate this.
Wow.
Reading the book.
That's super cool,
yeah. There's music that goes with it.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And so it's too soon to do it in 2023. June 16th is coming up soon.
Yeah.
But we're starting to talk about 2024, and I don't know. I mean, maybe my friend Bill is the only person in Pueblo who cares about this, but I'm going to post something on Facebook and
see if anybody else is interested. That's cool.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. What can people do to support us? All those things.
Come to classes as well. Because are you hoping that just regular community members would just want to come try things when it comes to your classes?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
See, that's just so cool.
Or try teaching something, too.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Let's see who signs up for it.
And then I also wanted to ask, how can people connect with you guys if they want to find out about your makerspaces and maybe be a part of that?
Yeah. So the website, shout out to Sam. She did the website. And it's really great. And there are many forms on there. So, for example, if you have an idea for an entertainer or if you are an entertainer, there's a form for you to fill that out and say the kind of stuff you do, what you're looking to get paid, and so forth. There's a place to volunteer to do classes, a place to sign up for classes, a place to express interest in the makerspaces. Spaces also.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think we've got another place for inquiring about the commercial kitchen.
Awesome. Great. Well, yeah, check all that stuff out. That also connect with Ethos on all of the social media. And then it is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 4:30 to 11:30 right now for the Sober Bar. which I can't wait to go check that out because I've not been able to get over there yet. So I'm planning to be there this weekend, which would be fantastic. So
cool. We've got a trivia night. Ooh. Thursday night is the pop-up vegan and a pride trivia.
I like trivia a lot. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Awesome. Well, hey, Jane, thank you so much for coming on. I really, really appreciate it. And thank you guys so much.
Ben, this was great.
You guys have such a big heart for Pueblo, and you can just tell through everything you guys are doing. So
great. Thanks, Ben.
I'm so excited.
This was really fun. I can't believe we just, talked. Thank you.
Hey, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, thank you so much for joining. And then if you want to read Jane's article, she wrote an article for us in the paper. You can check it out at PuebloStarJournal.org or in the written paper, which you can find at one of our pickup locations. If you like this podcast as well, go check out some of our previous podcasts. In our last episode, we had Todd Albo from the Pueblo Chieftain Printing Press. He told us the whole story of their big press and how they got things going. And they print for about 120 papers within Colorado and all of the West, which is so crazy. Like, no one in Pueblo knows that. So go give that a listen. And then also, if you want to get excited about new spaces that have come up in Pueblo, Fuel and Iron Project, we did a great project for them 2 months ago. Find out what's going on with their program when it comes to teaching and as well as coming in to eat. I feel like you guys are very similar in that. Both of you, big projects that are going on and, you know, huge hearts for Pueblo. So it's cool that you're both coming at the same time.
Thank you for mentioning Nathan Stern's been a big supporter and was there the first night with his family.
Wow.
And that meant a lot to me. I mean, he's been a supporter. Not everybody knows everything he's done in this community, and he's a big supporter. I often say, Ben, that I don't trust anybody from north of milepost 110.
Okay.
I trust Nathan Stern.
That's
so
awesome.
I think that's a great project they're doing. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's super cool. That's awesome. And then also go check out our 45 Degrees podcast right here, where we focus on the Pueblo Living Mural project. So our last one was with Aspen Pounds of Karmic Connection, talking about his most recent mural. So you can go check that out right here. For Ben and Jane, thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
Zero Fare for Better Air is happening with Pueblo Transit all summer long in June, July, and August. Ride Pueblo Transit or City Lift free throughout the hot summer months. Leave the car at home, enjoy one of 12 routes offered throughout the city, and help save carbon emissions during the hottest time of the year. Need help finding a route? Call Pueblo Transit at 719-553-2723 or visit the website at www.pueblo.us.